It's not often that I preach from the heart, as it were, of the book of Revelation. There are many mysterious and difficult passages to be found contained therein. And one feels to be so unworthy to try and open up the passages of Scripture that are related there. But trusting that the Spirit of God may grant us a little opening this night, I venture to bring before you the words that you will find in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation and the first two verses. Revelation 12, verses 1 and 2. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. In the last verse of the previous chapter, we read that the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. This seems to remind me of the time when the law was given to Moses upon the mount. That law, which came with great thunderings and lightnings and voices from heaven, whereby Moses said, "I fear and quake." He had great fear at the sound of this great word of God that came from heaven. And so it seems to me that those that are under the law are under the curse of the law, except they obey it completely. Now, no man has ever kept the law perfectly, except the God-man that came from heaven. And those that have an interest in his finished work and all that he accomplished at Calvary in fulfilling the law, in destroying the works of the devil and gaining the crown of victory for himself and for his people, these are secure. And they are secure whatever may come upon the face of this earth. When we hear of certain things happening in the world today, we wonder where they will end. But the Lord is able to preserve his people, as wonderfully he preserved Noah in the ark when the flood came upon the earth and destroyed all mankind. Similarly, we may find in many passages. In the book of Daniel, of course, we have two great events recorded there of how the Lord preserved his servants, the three Hebrew children which were to be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And they were protected that not a hair of their head was singed, but those who conducted them were burnt without the furnace by the flames that overlap there. And then we have Daniel himself cast into the den of lions, and the Lord held the mouths of the lions. These are remarkable events which happened in history. And also in the New Testament, we can find many similar reports. How that Peter, for instance, when he was cast into prison, ready to be put to death after the Sabbath day, but the angel came and released him and went forth, and the angel opened the gates to let Peter into the city there to find his friends. And so it ever was, and so it ever will be, because the Lord changeth not. And so these thunderings and lightnings are a judgment upon the wicked of the earth, that judgment that will soon come upon all men who are out of the secret, who are not found in the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ in them, the hope of glory. And then we come to the words which we have announced by way of text this evening. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. This woman, I believe to be the church, the true church of Jesus Christ, described in various forms in the scripture as the bride of Christ, as the bride of the Son of God. And this woman is described here as a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And I believe this should give great comfort to those who have a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, a saving knowledge of him. Not only that he died for sinners, but he died to save them from their sins. And the Lord has ever called forth his people into discipleship, that is, that they might be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this woman depicts the church, the true church. There is a woman mentioned in the scriptures concerning the false church, but the text here is very clear that this speaks of the true church. There has always been, and always will be to the end of time, two churches. One that is true to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who were chosen in Christ before the world began. Those who are found in the covenant of grace. We need to perhaps understand the foundation upon which these true believers stand. You'll remember that Adam and Eve were in the garden, and the devil came and tempted the woman. And the woman is the weaker vessel. And the devil obviously understood that Adam was stronger in body and in spirit than Eve. But the covenant that God made, he made before the world began. It was made in heaven by the eternal three. A people were chosen by the Father and given as a gift unto the Son. And the Spirit would undertake to reveal the Son unto those whom the Father had loved. And so we may understand that there was a mutual love between Father, Son, and Spirit of those whom God had chosen. And these were chosen in Christ before ever man was placed upon this earth, and so, consequently, before the fall. And that is very significant, that Christ came to redeem his people from their sins. Not the world. These were passed by. But those whom were written upon the breast of the Lord Jesus Christ from all eternity, their security then is an eternal security. But because Adam and Eve fell, and all their posterity in them, therefore, the Lord's people were in the same place as all others, for all had sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there was not one righteous person found among them. And so Christ must deliver them from their state of death and pay the price of their transgressions and make reconciliation for his people, that they might be brought back to God, back to where they began, in the love of the Father. Now that love, of course, never ceased toward them, but the Lord hated the sin that they had committed. So the Lord Jesus Christ triumphed over the devil and fulfilled the legal requirements on behalf of his people, that the charge should not be written against them. Now it goes on to say that there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. You'll have to forgive me if this is not in order this evening. I have to seek to open up the word as it comes to me. Heaven, we must understand in different senses. There is the heaven where God resides. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. The heaven of heavens, as it is sometimes described, the Lord's place, where he dwells on high. Then secondly, we have the heavens, known perhaps as the firmament. The skies above us are often in the scriptures referred to the heavens. And also the apostle speaks of it in a spiritual sense when he says, our conversation is in heaven. In other words, it is a heavenly conversation. Well, it is to the second one of these that I believe that this word applies. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, that is, the heavens above us. And in the heavens are the angels, both good and bad. The Lord has given his angels charge to watch over his people. They are ever at hand. They are the guardians of the saints, these holy beings. And we have to remember that man is inferior to angels, because when the Lord Jesus Christ came on this earth, we are told that he was made a little lower than the angels. So the angels have a status which is above mankind. They are the Lord's agents to do his bidding. We read of angels before the throne of God, veiling their faces. In the prophecy of Isaiah, it speaks of how they veil with their wings, two wings. They hide their faces with two wings. They fly, and with two wings they do the work of God. I just read that portion in Isaiah 6. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So these angels in the firmament watch over the lives and circumstances of God's people, and they are ever at hand to do the Lord's bidding on the behalf of his saints. But there are also evil angels. And we read of that later on in the chapter. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. And so these evil angels seek to bring an influence upon the world which is anti-God. And I think we can all of us see in our day how effective these wicked angels have been. They were cast out of the presence of God. And they are filled with venom toward God and godliness. And any that betake the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil seeks to destroy. And if it were not for the Lord's good angels protecting us, we would be nothing but a prey for the devil and his angels. He is described as the prince of the power of this earth. He knows that his time is short. He knows that he must act with all his malice while he can. And so he has ever been and ever will be, to the end of time, the persecutor of the church. Then, having established what the heaven is, and having established what the woman represents, we need to understand the first part of the verse, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven. What is this great wonder? Well, again, if we think of the woman as the church, then it is the wonder of God's grace. When we consider that we were all born in sin and shapen in iniquity, that we were all nothing worth, that God should pass by angels, that is, that he should pass by the wicked angels, with them there is no hope. There never can be, there never will be. But God passed by them, and to man who also sinned against God. And we mustn't minimize the sin that man committed in disobeying the commandments of the Lord. It is a wonder that God should come to save man. Now, it's a wonder that the Lord Jesus Christ should leave the higher heavens and come down upon this earth to be made man, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. And if you read in, I think it's the third chapter in the book of Genesis, of Adam and Eve, when the Lord took Eve out of the loins of Adam, that Adam mentions this same expression, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And if you consider that, they were then, at that time, both in innocency, pure, undefiled. Now, that is a type of the church. The purity of the church of Jesus Christ, because it is what he has created. The Lord Jesus Christ created the heavens and the earth, and he created man for to dwell upon the face of the earth. So he created Adam. In the image of God created he him. And Eve was taken from Adam. And so these two, in their purity, represent, as it were, the true church of Jesus Christ, which is a pure church, a holy church, a godly church, because the Lord Jesus Christ has done everything for his church. He came. What a wonder. And we hear of the good angels that they desired to look into these things. The wonder of Christ's birth, that he was made a babe. The wonders of his life as he grew up in this world without sin. Of his ministry and how he overcame all his opposition. And perhaps, I don't want to speak wrongly, but perhaps the greatest event, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord should suffer, bleed, and die, is a wonder. as one says, wonder of wonders, oh, how can it be that Jesus the crucified died for me? It is a wonder in heaven then that the Lord Jesus Christ, out of love for his church, was willing to come and suffer all things for his church's sake, and then to return into glory. And can you but imagine the acclamation of the angels as they saw their Creator now restored into that highest place upon the Father's throne? All glory be unto him. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman. And it seems to me that these two parts of the text are joined together. Now, is it not a wonder that God should so love sinners that he would deliver them from their sin? That while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. And here is the wonder of it, that we who deserve eternal punishment, no better than the fallen angels, no better than fallen mankind of every type, that the Lord should be pleased in his mercy to deliver us from the power of sin and of death, and to restore us to glory, that we might become the children of God, joint heirs with Christ in the eternal glory, that we might be inheritors of the same kingdom of which Christ is the great inheritor. Is not this a wonder? Should it not be a wonder on earth as it is a wonder in heaven? Is there not joy in heaven? Joy among the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth and becomes a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, made willing in the day of his power to forsake all and to follow him? Indeed, it is a wonder. And if we have experienced anything of the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we will know what a wonderful thing it is that I, such a poor, sin-polluted creature, worthy of eternal misery, should be delivered from the wrath to come, and not only that, but delivered into the plenitude of heaven, the glory that awaits every true believer. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. And this, to my mind, seems to follow a pattern. And I hope you can follow it with me. A woman clothed with the sun. What does the sun represent? Well, if we think of the natural sun, it is the greatest luminary in the heavens. It's where the place from where all light comes. Take a dark night, and the sun is apart. But then the dawn begins to appear, and the sun begins to rise in the sky, and that which was dark now becomes light. The Lord Jesus Christ, in more than one place, is described as the sun of righteousness, which arises with healing in his wings. Now, take the picture that is drawn for us here. A woman clothed with the sun. The church, the light of the world. and the glory thereof, because it is Christ who is their light. The sun then shines. The sun in heaven, we're told that there will be no need of the sun or of the moon or of the stars, because Christ is that greater luminary than the sun itself. He is the light of the whole world. What a glorious light. Arise, shine, says the prophet, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen among us. Oh, how great that day is, when our dark, benighted hearts are enlightened by the Sun of Righteousness appearing, when our night turns into day, when our death turns into life, when our sorrow turns into joy, when our sickness turns into health. The Lord Jesus Christ, a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. What does clothing do? It covers our nakedness. It keeps us warm. It protects us from various rays. So the Lord Jesus Christ, as the psalmist said, the Lord is my sun and shield. He is that one to protect his people. And here, I believe there is an allusion to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ as a covering, clothed in the robe of his righteousness. And our clothing covers us withal. It covers our body. Not like Adam and Eve when they made skirts for themselves. They tried to hide their nakedness but failed. But Christ made them coats for them to wear, to cover that nakedness. And there again is a type set forth right from the beginning of time, what man stands in need of. He needs a covering for his soul. And Christ is that covering, a woman clothed with the sun. Think how the sun gives us heat, how it gives us joy. You know, we might go through a few dark, damp days where the clouds are low, are heavy low upon us, and everything seems miserable. But then after that season, when the sun comes forth, oh, how it warms and animates us. It gives us great pleasure and great joy. So when the Lord Jesus Christ appears as the Lord our righteousness, as the glorious I am, as he shines into our hearts and warms and animates them there, then we dwell as in his presence. We delight to do his will. And the moon under her feet. The moon under her feet. Well, the moon is a lesser light. God at the beginning said that he would make a greater light to shine by day and a lesser light to shine by night. And I think we can look at this moon as being representative of the Old Testament law, the law of types and shadows. Now you'll notice that the moon is under her feet. It has been trodden under. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished or fulfilled all the last jot and tittle of the law on the behalf of his people. The law no longer holds us fast. All its types and ceremonies have been done away with when the Lord Jesus Christ offered up himself as a sacrifice for the sins of his people. So that law, we are not any longer under the law, but under grace, says the apostle. Not that we despise the law of God. I believe this speaks more of the ceremonial law. The law that was given to Israel in their time for them to keep, because the Lord Jesus Christ had not yet come. And so the Jewish altar and the beasts that were slain and the blood that was shed all set forth the need of the Lord Jesus Christ to offer, I say, that perfect sacrifice for his people. And upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. Upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. We're told at the beginning of the book of Revelation what those stars represent. And I believe especially here, they represent the apostles. The stars that were in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these apostles, ambassadors for Christ, went everywhere preaching the gospel. Preaching salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And from the days of the apostles, the Lord has raised up his stars to preach the truth as it is in Jesus. Now you'll notice that this is upon her head. And upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. At the very centre of the teaching of the church is the Word of God. And here is our light. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That light shines, as it were, upon every page of Scripture, because it reveals the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is that the Lord has raised up his servants to dispense that light. The crown upon her head, while the Lord Jesus Christ is the crown of the church. And upon his head are many crowns. He is crowned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is crowned as the creator of all things. He is crowned as a sustainer of heaven and earth. He is crowned with many crowns. Prophet, priest, king, who sits upon the throne of God. And yet, he is ever with the church. He told his disciples shortly before his crucifixion that he would be with them always, even unto the end of the world. How is he with him? Through his Spirit. And is it not the Spirit that has given us the Word? And is it not the Spirit that can give us the revelation of that Word? And so the light of truth is in the 12 stars given by God that the saints might be taught and fed and that they might be led into all truth. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. She being with child. I believe here again, I know there are others who think differently, but I believe that this speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 5 we read, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Who but the Lord Jesus Christ can fit that description? And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Only Christ can sit upon the throne of God with the Father. And so this child, I believe, is Christ. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, to bring forth the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it not the exercise of the church, that is, each individual member of the church, to bring forth the Lord Jesus Christ, to speak of him, to tell of his wondrous grace, to make known his great mercy toward his people? We travail then. We are in pains to make known the person of Jesus. And it is the church, as we said, is the light of the world. And it is the church which only can bring forth this name, this person of the Lord Jesus Christ. She, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. There is another sense, and we're finished with that this evening. And pained to be delivered. The apostle said to be with Christ, which is far better. To be delivered from the woes and turmoil of this world. To be delivered as Christ was delivered into his kingdom and glory. So the child of God will also be delivered up unto him. The apostle in that 15th chapter of the 1st of Corinthians speaks of this. Behold, I show you a mystery, he says. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. He concludes, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe these two verses eminently display the wonder and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and also his true church. Not the church as is named on a number of buildings in this nation and throughout the world. But the church is the people of God, those who are called to be saints, those who are chosen in Christ and called in the fullness of time. These are they that have a good hope through grace that the Lord Jesus Christ will receive them at last into his bosom. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. I feel I skipped over many of the salient points here, but I trust that it has given us some insight into these verses. Oh, the wonders of God's grace, the wonders of his holy word. Should we not wonder at his marvellous grace, his great condescension, that he came into the world to save sinners such as we are? Amen.